welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Optimizing IT Hardware and Software Expenditures with Tivoli Capacity Planning and IBM Business Analytics. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and include a question and answer session. Today's teleconference is being recorded. In the teleconference, you'll learn about Tivoli, what if analysis, and open architecture for gathering and analyzing data, application performance modeling, and rich graphic reporting. At this time, I'd like to hand the conference over to our speaker, Al Hanna, Capacity Planning Technical Specialist, IBM Sales and Distribution.
Hello, and thanks for attending today's call on Optimizing IT Hardware and Software Expenditures with Tivoli Capacity Planning and IBM Business Analytics. My name is Al Hanna, and I'll be your speaker for today's call. Let's move to page 2. Our capacity planning solution functionality is covered on this slide. So basically, we're starting with the ability to gather and categorize and store data. Now, the chart mentions system data, and I'll go back to this as we move forward, but it really should be considered more broadly. We, as mainframe people, we tend to think of SMF data as an example, but there are really many other non-SMF data sources we can consider as part of the solution and utilize here. The next function, really enabled by having all that historical data, is day-to-day management, what's happening in your environment, service level monitoring, or transactions completing with the response time that you expect, what's happening in terms of trends, whether it's an hourly trend we're looking at, a daily trend, a monthly trend, and so on. You really get a view as you look at volumes of data and simplify them for reporting, you get some understanding of what's happening. The what-if analysis, this functionality is really about looking forward. And part of it is designed around the mainframe. So it's looking at workloads and LPARs, service classes, and sizing all these different things against your current hardware and other hardware you may be looking at acquiring. The next component is forecasting and modeling data at a much more granular level. We're talking about application level here, and that's really some of the capability that's introduced because you've got a much broader source now. Remember, if you go back to the data that we've stored, it can be end-to-end, enterprise-wide, and this is ultimately the source for this forecasting and modeling capability. Some of the examples we've talked to customers most recently about are scaling test to production workloads, and correlating business metrics to utilization. So these are questions like, what happens if I add more clients? What happens to my system utilization? What happens if we ship more packages? What happens if we execute more trades? These are all different business metrics depending on the company, but they want to tie that back to what's happening on their system. And lastly, we have enhanced reporting capability brought in around the solution and to expand on these different parts. So let's move to the next slide, on slide 3. The value of the solution, why do we do all this? The first thing we have to say is cost avoidance. The mainframes are expensive, hardware is expensive, software has been more expensive lately relative to hardware costs, and we don't have the luxury of running mainframes at 20% utilization, and nor were they designed to run that way. So we want to maximize the money we're spending on them. And the other area we want to be careful of, some companies have very strict service level agreements in place with financial penalties that are incurred if those service level agreements are missed. So it's very important to them to make sure that the response times are on target in that environment. Flexible reporting I mentioned before, something easy to use, open interface, not complicated to learn, no arcane language to worry about, and the leveraging predictive and forecasting capabilities to give a much better insight of what's happening and looking forward and identifying patterns that you may not see yourself. And these are some of the capabilities in software now that can assist. And lastly, balancing workloads and even balancing LPARs. Again, you're just trying to maximize what you have on the floor. Next slide. So these are the products that we're going to talk about more the rest of the call, and I just got a little quick bullet next to the role of each one. So we start with TDS, that's Tivoli Decision Support for ZOS. That's the extractor, the tool that's categorizing all this data that's quite broad these days in our systems and storing it in DB2, and we'll certainly cover that in more detail. Cognos is the reporting presentation layer. SPSS is the statistical, the prediction capability of correlating data and making forecasts. And the mainframe simulation tool is Tivoli Performance Modeler for ZOS. So combined, we're calling this our business analytics capacity management solution. On to slide 5, we'll look at each of these a bit more. Tivoli Decision Support for ZOS has the ability to do end-to-end data collection and reporting in your environment. As I mentioned at the beginning of the call, most often we tend to think about SMF data, but certainly we can expand beyond that. There are some non-SMF sources like Decollect providing DASD information. There are non-SMF sources coming from distributed environments, or ZVM or Zlinux, a lot of different types of data that we can collect and gather, and they're put into a single database. Having this information, categorizing it, summarizing it as we load it, really gives you the view of what's happening with your system. You can see anything abnormal. If that's a spike, for example, on CPU utilization, we had a spike on a given day, find out what hour it was, you trace it down maybe to a job, for example, that was looping. You've got to have the underlying data to make that kind of analysis, to do that kind of research, and you have to store it across time to see the trends and where things are moving. What I also mentioned here, Tivoli Decision Support also provides the basis for mainframe accounting. It's not really part of this call per se, but just as an awareness point. Cognos 10, Business Intelligence, is the reporting, the presentation layer for the forecasting and the prediction capability that we're going to talk about today. Tivoli Performance Modeler for ZOS is really the mainframe-specific simulation tool that I mentioned. So this tool understands and knows how to deal with things like hyper-dispatch capability on the Z10 and the Z196. As a simulation, it doesn't break down when system utilization approaches 100%. There are extensive what-if scenarios, very mainframe-centric scenarios that we'll talk about, and I mentioned balancing of workloads and LPARs. And this last point we'll get back to again, average service class response time. We often talk about CPU utilization, and that's certainly something we'll see as output from a model, but I want to show you with some of the subsequent charts why having that service class response time and really understanding how workloads are performing is far more valuable. And lastly, we have SPSS Modeler. This is the piece that really allows us to look at a much broader base of data and in terms of granularity, let's say in terms of application and some of those business-centric scenarios I mentioned earlier, or test to production. This can operate against any of the data that's in the decision support database and very broad. The final point there, this call, of course, is about capacity planning, but be aware, SPSS Modeler is not going to force you just to do capacity planning. We're talking about one particular database in DB2, but maybe you have other databases with customer data. You need to do some kind of customer-specific analysis or fraud detection. This is the kind of tool that you can use against that, so its use goes way beyond capacity planning. On slide 6, we have an architecture chart. And the ZOS box you see is mostly the depiction of Tivoli Decision Support. Now, I've got some more charts on decision support, but as you see on the left, we've got the various inputs, and there are just some examples, RACF, RMF, and other inputs from DASI, from TAPE, and they're feeding into decision support. The data is being mapped, and decisions are made about what to store and how to augment that data as it's loaded. And I'll go into that in more detail. It's stored in DB2. And from there, these other tools can make use of it. So the Cognos and SPSS pieces that I mentioned are sitting on Zlinux, and they will literally get that data right out of the DB2 database on Z, and just electronically in DB2 connect type of method. Tivoli Performance Modeler, notice in the diagram here, it's actually sitting on Windows, but it can also get its data from DB2, and that's something that decision support can collect for it. Or it can use data directly from RMF reports. And then we've got some examples of the end-user screens that basically pulling the data out of Cognos and SPSS and getting the reporting at the client workstation. If we move to slide 7, we'll go into more detail now on Tivoli Decision Support. So I'll try to cover this slide, let's say left to right. And on the left side, these product event logs, these are the inputs that I've talked about, the SMS, the non-SMS, mainframe, distributed, and so on. And keep in mind, you can do custom inputs here as well. So any kind of record that you can map, and you basically know that at a certain offset you have this field, you can name it, you know what's in that field, you can create your own components to collect data and store them and report on them. So that capability is in TDS as well. The log collector is a batch program that's typically run off hours once a day, and it collects this data and feeds it into DB2, and it has two primary functions, really, that are taking place as the data is loaded. It's aggregating data based on date time. Some of the things we've talked about here, we've talked about having detail, we've talked about having long-term trends, and these are represented by different tables in this DB2 database. And the log collector basically handles the loading of that. So you've got the detail tables loaded, and at the same time, you're aggregating that to an hourly and daily, weekly, monthly tables, and so on. It's one process. It's not a separate process. So all that happens as the data is loaded. And the other key thing that's happening, you saw reference on some of the earlier slides to application, or we can say, you know, line of business, whatever division, whatever terminology applies best in your environment. But the log collector will take and add those business descriptors to your data when it's stored. So that becomes part of the data. So if I'm looking, let's say, at a job name, I'm deciding what application it belongs to, or maybe I'm looking at a transaction ID, I'm making all those decisions when the data is loaded. That way I can look at things later on and really start getting an application view, a line of business view of what's happening. And you see all these things coming from many different subsystems that are really all part of the same application. Once the data is loaded, it's available to the reporting dialog, and we've basically got three reporting means here. The first is the mainframe reporting. This product, by the way, has been around since 94 under a different name, Enterprise Performance Data Manager. We had the mainframe products from the beginning. If I sort of jump to that little bullet on the bottom there, if I were to install TDS and activate all the components and start collecting data, I have over 1,000 mainframe reports ready to go that I could select and get insight into my environment. Now, over time, we've had different graphical interfaces, and for the last few years, we've had Tivoli Common Reporting. That is basically a web reporting mechanism for decision support. And there are over 600 report definitions in the web environment now. And the end user really needs nothing more than a browser to get to that. And I've got a couple samples later on. The last piece I'll mention, Tivoli Enterprise Portal. It's really not so much a reporting mechanism like these other two are. But if you have Omega Mon and you're getting real-time environment into your Tivoli Enterprise Portal, Tivoli Decision Support has workspaces defined there really to augment that real-time data. And the idea is just to give you one interface on your GUI. If you get an alert maybe in the real-time world, you can click over on a TDS workspace and get some historical understanding of what, let's say, normal might have been prior to the alert. So that's the purpose of having it there. Now, if I go back to the top part of the chart, the administration dialog, basically how you take care of the product, how you activate components, how you can look at the data flows in use. This is an ISPF dialog. So anybody familiar with TSO and ISPF would see this as they would any other dialog. And in that aspect, product is very good at self-documenting itself. I mean, certainly we have a set of manuals that talk about the product and what it does. But with the dialog and the ISPF, you can literally trace the data flow from a record, which many of us are familiar with what certain SMF records contain. You can look at the data flows within TDS and see what tables get updated by that record and then you can understand what kind of reports are available based upon it. So it's sort of a quick way to see what the product's doing without having to look through a manual. Across the bottom, we've got optional features. These are purchased as well as separate SMPE installable features, and I'll talk a bit about these. The first four, really from the left, systems performance, CICS, IMS, and network, are features that you purchase. And notice a little asterisk next to systems performance. We'll talk about that some more. When you purchase that feature, you get the last two included as well, and that covers distributed and AS400, and we'll go into more detail on these parts. The network piece here, by the way, I'm not going to talk about more on this call, but just be aware that's for SNA architecture. We've got TCP/IP covered in the systems performance feature. So let's go to slide 8. Now, here is a sample of some of the components in the systems performance feature. And it's very typical in almost all cases. You're going to have customers that purchase decision support get this feature along with it. And it's covering a wide number of data sources around ZOS of the mainframe. So some of the samples, the data set component around SMF 14, 15, and 64s and so on, basically sequential VSIM type data. The DB2, SMF 100s, 101, 102. SMF is an example of a non-SMF-based format. So if you're familiar with DCollect, this is a component that reads in DCollect data and gathers data set level information, volume level information. If you have HSM, it gets information out of the MCDS and BCDS as well. So each of these, as you can see, basically correspond to their particular data feed. You activate this particular component, and from that point forward, TDS would look for that kind of record in the input and basically map it, store the data, and the reports will be ready to go. So TCP/IP, ZOS system, it's more the logical LPAR view of your mainframe. ZOS performance management tends to be the physical view, so it's sort of a box level what's happening across all the LPARs and so on. As noted, you also see ZVM and VLinux here as well. All these things are covered in the system's performance feature. So on the next slide, again, just a partial list of reports. As I said a couple of slides ago, there are over 1,000, so I'm definitely not going to show you 1,000 reports on this call. But you just look at this page for a moment, and you can see the report titles that are activated with the installation of just the one component alone. And this is not a full list, but if you were to activate the ZOS system component, you would see these reports as having data. And I'll just move to the next slide and show other examples from the ZOS performance management component, and MVSPM being the report prefix that we've had in the product now for a number of years. So again, just a sampling of the kind of reports that are made available. On slide 11, jumping to the distributed systems performance feature, again, just to make the point that we can go beyond mainframe, because I do get those questions about customers and what can we do with the Linux, what can we do with distributed, and it all goes back to beginning by having the ability to create the data you need, store it, and really get an end-to-end view. So these are the different components available in the distributed feature. So we have different flavors of Unix now. We have different flavors of Linux, and we've added Windows as well in the last mod release of TDS. On slide 12, again, I have some report examples. On this page, we've got some Unix examples. And moving to slide 13, we've got some Linux and Windows examples of the reports that are there. Now, I've talked about all these reports being available. I did mention that you can create your own components. Any of these reports you see on the mainframe, you can always take and, let's say, clone, and maybe you want to tweak a few things, and you're certainly free to write your own reports. You're not restricted in any way. This is just what we're providing out of the box. And if you have any favored tool you like to use that can work with data that's in DB2, the database is open with decision support. So there's nothing proprietary. You can access that data and report on it really any way you wish. So slide 14, I've put in a few report examples here just so you can have a visual on what they look like. If we go to slide 15, This is just the mainframe report. If you're a mainframe person, you recognize this as a TSO emulator, and you're looking at just a tabular report. And as I said, these go back to the beginning of the product in this current architecture back in 94. On slide 16, this is the old mainframe GDDM graphics format that came about, again, many years ago. I was there, so this was leading edge at a time. If you go to slide 17, we've got some samples from the Tivoli Enterprise Portal. Now, recall, I said that this isn't a primary reporting mechanism, but Tivoli Decisions Board does have 12 workspaces now that can be used to represent data, all basically on the single pane of glass, so you can get your real-time information with some historical data as well. And these slides just sort of shoot through some drill-down capability. You can see the little link symbol and the arrow on this slide. Basically, these next screens, if I move it to 18, I've basically clicked and gone down another level, and I'm looking at correlation ID now and DB2 plan names. And I click again, and now on slide 19, and I've drilled down further. So just a quick example on Tivoli Enterprise Portal. On slide 20, got the logon screens for Tivoli Common Reporting. Again, this is just web reporting with a big name. The current release of Tivoli Common Reporting is version 1.2, and literally at the time of this recording, we're switching over to Tivoli Common Reporting version 2.1, which brings about some of its own limited Cognos capability. The screenshots here are from version 1.2, but by the time this call is heard, any customers with decision support should be able to refresh their orders, get entitlement to version 2.1, and there are already just a couple sample reports out there using that new technology. Now, this is a TCR version 1.2. This is your report screen, so to speak. You've got your different report groups in the center frame where you see reference to IMS and MVS and MVSPM. Maybe you may recognize those as similar kind of prefixes to the mainframe reports. In the right frame, you see the actual report IDs of the small report description. And understand with Tivoli Common Reporting, as a browser-based report, you're going to create an HTML-type output, so it's going to go right to your screen. But you also have the option to create PDF output, or you can literally put report data directly into Microsoft Excel, and it will just open up Microsoft Excel and populate it with the report that you happen to select. Slide 22 is an example of one of the graphical reports that we have on TCR. They all follow a similar format. On the top, you have header, report title, report ID. Each of these reports have variable fields that you can select or not select, just depending how broad you want the report to be. So the values you use to create a particular report are shown in the top of the field, followed by the graphic, as you see. And again, this capability now is better, and it continues to get better with Cognos. And we have a tabular representation of the data on the bottom. So moving to slide 23, we're going to switch gears and go to Tivoli Performance Modeler for ZOS. This, again, is a simulation tool. It's based around queuing theory. And I want a theme, something to stick with everybody, is that we want to see workload performance. Seeing CPU utilization alone is not good enough. If you're familiar with mainframes, they're designed to run at extremely high 99% utilization. Workloads will be governed based on the policies you've defined to Workload Manager. So your high-priority workloads will continue to get service by design, and it's the low-priority workloads that won't. And that's really what we want to show with performance modelers, is when the lower-priority workloads start to get impacted. So all this information helps support basically this forward-looking planning on when you might need additional hardware or how to maximize what you've got, as I said before. So let's see. One of the advantages of simulation versus analytical. The simulation, I mentioned it at the beginning, I'll just recap here. It can be aware of things like hyper-dispatch. If you've heard that term or not heard it, it's basically the ZOS capability of parking and unparking logical processors to maximize efficiency. You're not having too many processors defined when they're not needed. this tool will consider that as it goes through and does its simulation. It also can handle scenarios where you get to 100% utilization. There's not an issue with any mathematics behind it, queuing theory. Slide 24, we've talked about some of these what-if scenarios already. What happens if I add CPs? Certainly specialty processors can be considered here. Weighting factors or LPAR definitions can be changed and altered. And we've got these other things I mentioned, specific workload growth or system-wide growth, LPAR movement, and some other things that we've been asked about from time to time. What happens if you change priorities or even change disk devices? You speed up a disk or you go to solid state, you basically use more CPU because you're not waiting on I.O. as you would have been. Slide 25, one of the things that Performance Modeler will do very quickly using Excel, special spreadsheet that ships with the product, has a number of built-in macros that will take this data that I mentioned that comes out of RMF or if you've gotten it from decision support and quickly give you a snapshot. So this is not a model per se, but these charts are meant to just quickly give you a view of what's happening on your system. So if you look at this one, we're looking at LPAR utilization. You see the primary LPAR on the box using most of the capacity. You can see a secondary LPAR of the OS2, and the line represents overall utilization across the box. On slide 26, we've got, again, just another quick snapshot of what's happening with ZIP utilization in this particular environment. This chart basically shows you that one LPAR is pretty much the sole user of the specialty processor, and you're seeing what the utilization runs across this period of days. Slide 27 is a quick view on your workloads, on your service classes, highest priority at the bottom, working your way up, with the red line being utilization of the LPAR, and then the black line above it being utilization of the overall box. There's a gap between the top of the bar and the line for a couple different reasons. There's a setting in the spreadsheet. You decide what thresholds you want to use when you create the chart. So in my case, I mostly will skip anything using less than 2% of CPU, and sometimes I push that up, depending how much activity there is. And then some of it is on capture time. So moving on to slide 28, we have another view of specialty processor, but this view is based on the workload that's using the specialty processor. So for a ZIP, we would certainly expect something like DDF or DB2, and sometimes I see that use in batch as well. Slide 29 are report classes for this environment. And moving on to slide 30, we get just another view based on MIPS, showing the capacity that's used with just a straight percentage growth. These colored lines above the bars are just representing 5, 10, and 15% growth above that. Again, not any kind of modeling here, really, just a quick snapshot. The horizontal lines represent current capacity. First line for the UO3 is what this particular box is. And then we've charted the capacity of a larger machine across the top, showing the blue line being UO4. Now, 31 is just another detailed view of system information. I'm just going to move through that and go through slide 32. This is the output of a modeling run, and we'll try to keep this short on the call today here. But what we've done, basically, we've grown all the workloads on this system across 2 years. So we've got two time periods, year one, year two, and we've done it with two different growth rates. So we went through this with 8% growth and with 12. And once we got done doing it on the current hardware, we did it again with the UO4S, so basically we've added another engine. And then we look at the impact. So let me explain the impact as we go through. Quick columns, the total MIPS, if you look at that column, basically constant, of course, for the UO3 and UO4. One thing to note with the UO4, notice that we've added 31.83% capacity with that upgrade. But if you look over two columns, that total KEC busy, you'll notice that it only dropped by 22.61%. So this particular spot in this output actually indicates latent demand, and you can get a view of that here. And again, if I haven't said it, this is the output of a modeling run. So the key here being, I mentioned earlier, we can certainly see total KEC busy and what happens to it as you grow. You can see where it ends up when you end up on the new box, and then as you grow through the two time periods and the two growth rates. You see the same with the specialty processor as well. But if you look over at the last four columns, you see what happens with the workloads. And this is what I mentioned earlier, that the value here. Because if you look at DBPod, And if you look at that column all the way down, and the percentages aren't changing too much. If you look at the numbers, it's insignificant digits here. This is the high priority workload. As I mentioned, workload manager is taking care of it. So it's basically not fluctuating as you go through this exercise. Now, we move over to DDF, not as high a priority, and you start to see some change in this workload. Now, I can't look at this and say it's an issue. If you look at the UO3 alone, we see some huge percentage changes there. But if you look at the absolute numbers, 0.035 to 0.696, about the middle row there, that may not be a problem. It's still sub-second response time, but you have that awareness, and you can see that DDF response holds constant with the UO4. Now, if we move over again to the next lower workload that was selected for this modeling run, SDC low, you can see starts basically today is sub-second at 0.476. But as soon as you start applying growth in year one, you see what's much more likely to be a pretty significant change because you're almost at 3-second average response time there. This is an average across the service class that's running in this environment, and it gets far worse as you go down and add more time and more growth. And it's pretty safe to say that this workload is well broken within the time frame that we've modeled on the UO3 here. So it's indicating a pretty strong need for an upgrade. And with this lowest priority workload, the last column, this bat test column, it only gets far worse. Now, even though it's test batch, again, I mean, it's probably a good likely chance that this kind of response is not adequate. It would cause issues and that you need to put an upgrade in place to cover it. So it's the ultimate benefit of Performance Modeler because you can look at these average response times and really see, based on current workload manager policies, when you have an impact that you need to deal with or address in your environment. So we go to slide 33, and switching to the Cognos and the SPSS pieces of the solution, we bring in different capabilities, as I said. So now we're forecasting, we're talking about analytic capability. We've got a much broader base of data we can use to make this analysis, because if you look, Performance Modeler, that's all based around SMF 70 and 72, if you're familiar with those records, those are your CPU and your workload records. Cognos and SPSS have no such limitations, and anything we've got in the Tilly Decision Support database, they can use. So if you want to look at any of the number of records that may come in from representing resource use for a particular application, they can all be brought in to a model to understand what's happening. And you see capability that goes way beyond, let's say, typical reporting in TDS or TCR. So this lagging week, for example, if I look at the middle of the chart, this is a year-to-year comparison. This is just not something TDS does right out of the box. Or basically identifying, predicting any cycles or seasonality is listed on the chart here. These are also capabilities that you get with SPSS. So this is not so much now a set of reports. I'm going to show you some samples as we go through this. But it's really a capability. It's meant to be tailored to each customer's environment. So that's really the thinking behind that bullet about a services engagement. Don't want anybody to think that you're going to install this and automatically it'll have all this insight. You've really got to decide, you know, what is it I want to model? Do I want to model test to production? Do I want to use some of the business drivers that I talked about earlier? What happens if I add clients and so on? You've got to build these models, and these tools provide the capability, and we've got experts in IBM that provide the knowledge to help you do that. So let's go to slide 34. This is just a representation, let's say, of straight Cognos across to some of this enhanced reporting. If you look on the right, you see these little drop-down boxes, if you can see those, the ability to filter information in any number of ways. You see current reporting, and it says on those screens that we combine the current reporting that Cognos will take along with the predictive values from SPSS. Slide 35 talks about some of the initial models that were built, and this is a bit of a detail slide talking about the specific tables within decision support that were used to build an initial set of models to do things like forecast and analytics around LPAR utilization, and four separate streams, basically an automated type concept. As the data in TDS is refreshed, remember I said that data is collected on a daily basis most often, these forecasts can be refreshed in an automatic process as well. Now, if you look at slide 36, I just blew up this one screen, a shot of SPSS Modeler, and the point I want to make here is this is not, let's say, an arcane language that you have to learn. I just wanted to make the point it's a graphical workflow. You can see it sort of has a flow chart type look to it, and it's basically easier to master and understand this GUI representation than it would be learning any kind of programming language, but this is what drives the various scripts and models underneath. Slide 37, just put this in here, again, to show some of the different reports. I mentioned lagged week earlier, year to year, or you see same month 1 year prior. These are all expanded capabilities that just aren't in decision support on its own, but to take these different time periods and make these comparisons, it's all very straightforward with Cognos. Slide 38, we're just showing a monthly forecast, and this predictive capability, you see the red line, the prediction, it sort of starts off, and as it goes through more and more data, you see that line align with actual, and then at the very end, that January 2011, you see where it carries forward and makes a prediction of an upcoming peak in that month. Slide 39, just another example, linear trend, pretty constant trend here, sort of picked down the middle of actual versus predicted. No particular peaks here, but it will basically recognize and take care of outliers in the data and not ignore them, and you can see the prediction is pretty much constant trend there. Slide 40, this is an example where the prediction is actually shown some downward spike. So this is basically, these are periods of availability where you've got low utilization. So this kind of information, you may be able to, let's say, move batch streams or so on, basically take advantage of some low use periods on your system in maximizing your investment. Slide 41 is a bit of the reverse. You can see some peaks that are predicted there with the red lines, and you see where it's circled. These are areas where maybe you can remove and shift out some of your workloads to balance out. Slide 42, just a final example of Cognos, and you can see some of the selection here going in this report, this graphic. Whether I want to look at all these LPARs or certain LPARs, you can see where I'm choosing processor types here. This period represents basically shifts. You want a prime shift or evening shift and so on, and date ranges. Just clicking here, changing your report output. And keep in mind with the Cognos reports, you've got drill down capability based on the graph itself. So you can get more and more granular, let's say, looking from a monthly type view down to daily and hourly and so on, and narrow yourself down to a particular problem interval. And that's the end of our deck. Put my name and email address and phone number here if there are any questions, and certainly if anybody would like any specific meetings about their own environment, I'm happy to come out and talk to customers. So thanks again, and now I will hand the call back to the operator.
Thank you. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a question and answer session with the presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selections. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. Once again, high, star 1. Medium, star 2. Low, star 3. We'll pause for a moment. Moving on, rate the level of technical information presented in this teleconference. If it was at the right level, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. More technical, press star 3. And once again, at the right level, press star 1. Not technical enough, press star 2. Or more technical than I need, press star 3. And moving on, are you doing or looking to do capacity planning today? Press star 1 for yes and star 2 for no. Once again, if you are doing or looking to do capacity planning today, press star 1 for yes and star 2 for no. And we will pause. And finally, we hope that you have enjoyed today's teleconference. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving information on this solution. If you are interested, press star 1. And if you are not interested, press star 2. Once again, star 1 if you are interested. And if you do not desire at this time, press star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your questions, please press the star key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. Once again, star 1 if you have questions. Do remember, if you have been using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function has been released to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will pause for just a moment. Once again, star 1 if you have a question. And we will take a question from Ralph Michel with Deer Company.
My question is, in order to do the simulations, do you have to collect workload manager detailed decision-making traces, the SMF-99s, I think it is?
No, as you said, Ralph, this is Al answering that question. If you're talking about Tivoli Performance Modeler, the workload data it uses is from the SMF-72.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And once again, star 1. We will pause for another moment. With no further questions, I will turn the call back over to your host for any additional or closing remarks.
I just wanted to thank everybody again for calling in, and as I said on the last slide there, you've got my contact information, so if any questions come up or you'd like to talk some more, please get a hold of me. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude your teleconference for today. We do thank you for your participation.